Welcome to the School of the Word. This is Lesson 5 in our teaching series, The Third Side in the Clash of Three Kingdoms, titled, Were the Prophets Wrong? Our teacher is Alan Smith.
This teaching is the clash of three kingdoms, and it is the kingdom of man, the kingdom of darkness, and the kingdom of the will of God. Now, in the last teachings, I had the kingdom of man, the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of God. This week, we're going to go in a little better, a little more. And with this kingdom of God, I'm going to call the kingdom of the will of God, because the will of God is the focus of this segment of this teaching. And I call it the battle for dominion. Now, whether we realize it or not, we're always choosing a side. And my teaching of the third side, which is God's side, first side being my side, second side, your side, third side's God's side. And in our lives, we tend to vacillate between mine and yours. I'll give up mine and go to yours, or I'll be on God's. Well, I don't think I like God's now, so I'm going to go to mine, or I'm going to go to yours. So we're kind of in this cycle of constantly deciding whose side we're on. And that's what the Bible calls double-mindedness, if you want to know a name for it. Now, the title of this teaching, which might be raise a little question, did the prophets miss the election? There again, I like to hit it head on. Did the prophets miss the election? We got the prophetic voices out there everywhere that are saying that President Trump was going to be in office. I mean, it was, I don't know that I heard one that didn't say it. I'm sure there was, but they weren't on YouTube. So everyone just said that Trump was going to, and there were actually a lot of them, very reputable prophets, people that I trust their prophetic words. There's one or two now that's apologized, which I think's a shame, but I understand the predicament they're in. They're trying to say, well, I guess we missed it. I guess we missed it, but they needed to wait until I gave this teaching. That's what they needed to do. Because they're going to look double-minded when they go back the other way. So don't send any of those prophets this teaching. So did the prophets miss it? I say no. I say no, they didn't miss it. I like I said, a lot of these prophetic voices, I trust. Now, what the enemy would like to do is destroy the prophetic voice. That's what the enemy would love to do. He would love to destroy it and to totally erase it from our Christian experience. But the prophetic voice encompasses a lot of material. So right now, you could say all of the prophets got a lot of egg on their face, so to speak. Trump's going to be president. Trump's not president. Now, to me, as I'm doing this, if you'll allow it, Trump is not my issue. The will of God's my issue is what I'm trying to teach, okay? It just so happens I have a wonderful scenario, a wonderful situation here to express how this works. And I do have my opinion, but this is not what's happening right now. Did the prophets miss it? I say no. And now, here's why. They were trying to tell future. Now, what I'm going to do with this teaching is I'm going to give you the answer first, and then I'm going to give you the teaching. A lot of times we give the teaching, and voila, there's the answer. But I'm doing this one the other way around. I want to give, and the main reason I'm doing that is because I'm not sure if I was going to get to this part. So I thought, okay, Lord, I'll just get this part out of the way, and then I'll have that done. I won't have to worry. Okay, they're trying to tell the future. Now, here's what's happened in the prophetic movement, and I don't, it's just kind of slipped into it, is there's not ever been a distinction made between telling future and telling the will of God. There's not been a distinction made. They're trying to tell the future instead of telling the will of God. Now, so when you're prophetically speaking to someone or there's a prophetic word, the prophetic voice has slipped into, this is what's going to happen, right? This is what's going to happen. And they know they heard God. So now they're sitting back questioning themselves. Did they hear God? Well, if it was one or two, I wouldn't think so much about it. But all the prophets said it. We don't have just a little one or twosie here. We got prophets all around the world, and more so in other countries than ours. So what actually happened? Now, the first mistake is in telling future. It's against the book to tell future. It's called soothsaying. We're not, number one, we're not to tell future. And it says God's the only one that knows the future. So we found ourselves slipping into, it's just a matter of making a distinction in truth. And I hope to reveal that today. Now, here we go. We are now living in what I am calling a spiritual cold war. In other words, what's happening this day and time is out of this. The big rule is political correctness. Now you've got cancel culture, and you got all these other the woke movement, and all. Oh, you got, I mean, woke, awake, a heek, a hook. I don't know. My land, I've never seen the like of titles that's coming under political correctness. But here's what you got to see, church. Political correctness is a religion. Make no mistake about it. It is trying to replace what's right, what's God. We are living in the day what you call wrong is right, and what's right is wrong. So political correctness are some type of laws written by somebody that's been offended, and then they write a law, I've been offended, and for some reason everybody's supposed to jump up and down and say, well, bless your little heart. Well, that's, and then all of a sudden we make a new rule, you're fired because you weren't politically correct. And most of the time you don't know what somebody's going to say is offensive. I mean, I offended somebody, it hadn't been that long ago, and they were talking about almond milk, and I said, it's a bunch of junk. Well, I offended them because I'm a dairy farmer and I like real milk. How in the world are you going to milk an almond tree? I don't know. But I offended them. And I don't mean a little bit. I mean a lot. So you don't know when you're politically correct or not. You just kind of stand up for what you think's right, and somebody's going to say you're politically incorrect. It's just this. So, now right now, our faith is not really being attacked that strong because they're too busy. Political correctness is too busy laying its groundwork to come after us. But it's a coming. But the groundwork is being laid. It's a religion. It's out of the pit of hell. You can quote me on that. It is out of the pit of hell, and everybody's leaning into it. There's a Christian organization that put what they're calling exposing their leader that died, and they put all of this stuff out now that he said that he did in his life. Now, all of that's being done under this religion of political correctness. It's not Bible. What they did was wrong. In other words, they hired a firm that's just private investigators to go out and interview witnesses and then interview these witnesses, so therefore he's guilty. It's never been in a court of law, nothing, not a law. It's, nothing's been done by a court of law. But it doesn't have to be today. All you got to do is make an accusation, and you're guilty. So whether you know it or not, we are in tremendously dangerous times because these unwritten laws are replacing the laws of the land. They're replacing the Constitution. It's replacing everything. It's sneaking in here. You can't see it. You can't see these laws of political correctness. You can't see them. It's just somebody's out there saying that this is not good. So, this is the times that we are in. It's the most dangerous times I've ever seen. We can't see our enemy, but he's really working. So, we got a spiritual cold war. The conflict is based around the struggle for dominance by two powers, man and darkness. The kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness both come out of an unseen world. It's an unseen world coming to the earth. So the theater, if you will, is the earth of the unseen worlds. You got the unseen worlds, and the theater of them playing or acting it out is planet Earth. That's where we are. We are on stage. We are in the theater. We are all actors in this theater. And you have to decide what part you want to have in this spiritual play. The goal is to control or dominate what God's created. So you got the spiritual worlds out here. They're playing out, acting this out on the earth. And the goal is to dominate what God created. God created it all, but God created it for us to be in dominion with Him, His people, to be in dominion with Him so that the kingdom of God is played out on the earth. Now, part of my concern is, for instance, this church has been prophesied would be a healing center. I believe that. But it's not as active as it needs to be. Does anybody agree with me? We're just not seeing the activity we hope for. We know it's been prophesied. I know it's true. So I know in the spiritual world out here that the theater that we're in is to be a healing center. That's the part of the kingdom on this horrific, dangerous planet we're living on. We are to be an oasis, it was prophesied, sitting here beside of the road in this horrendous earth with all of this chaos, and that's part of the kingdom of God on the earth. That's who we're to be. So, but something, and let me say this, I want to interject this, this is where I'm headed, and that is the will of God. That's the will. That is the will of God. Now watch it. Dominance is an unholy obsession for dominion. So when you see somebody, you see dominance is a skewed dominion. Dominance means I want to have control over you. Right. Dominion means I walk in holiness with God. Right. There's a difference. So dominance is the skewed dominion. That's what the enemy does with dominion. He calls it dominance. And so, therefore, you have people trying to dominate people. You even have husbands trying to dominate wives. You have men trying to dominate women. You women dominate men. And you go through this whole course, and everybody's trying to dominate somebody when God's called us not to do that, to be in dominion with Him. That's the issue. We are the ones that make either one real. You got to decide whose play you're in and whose character you are. Because that's what's happening on this earth. You might think you've been put here to have fun all the time and for pleasure. Or you're here just to see how much of this earth can give you pleasure. I don't think I can tell you, you're on the wrong planet. You are entirely on the wrong planet. And maybe in another one somewhere, but this one isn't it. I know we strive for it, but it don't happen much. Now, I want us to see this right quickly. Now, this is the three sides of the earth. You got the kingdom of man, kingdom of darkness, and you got the kingdom of God. Now, there's something happens here. The kingdom of man and darkness is always fighting for you to be a character in their part of the play. Always fighting, and it'll cause you to switch over. There again, that's what's called double-mindedness. Now, this verse in James 4:8, it says, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you what? You double-minded. You double-minded. So, it indicates if I'm not drawing nigh to God, He's not drawing close to me. And then what's the end result of that? I'll be double-minded. That means you don't know where to stand. I don't know whether to stand on my side or your side or God's side. I'm just in this huge state of confusion. That's called double-mindedness. What's the cure for it? You're not close to God. That's all you got to do. You just got to repent and draw close to God. And the very fact that you're drawing closer to God, the double-mindedness starts to leave. Does that make sense? That's just scripture, that's all. And so here we go. To draw nigh meaning near in place, time, or relationship. So it means to draw close. in relation. Can I be closer to God than I am right now? Yes. Do I have a little double-mindedness? Yes. It drives me crazy. Does it drive you crazy?
Oh, yeah.
It just absolutely drives me nerve-wracking crazy. And I know, but I know what's happening. I know I'm not close to God. So I'll seek your opinion or his opinion or whatever. Where's the right answer? Well, maybe it'll be in the president or maybe it'll be in this person. No, it's in God. That's the reason of the confusion. Now, double-minded, here's what it is. Double-minded meaning wavering in mind, undecided, vacillating, insecure. So just all over the place. That's what double-minded. It doesn't mean that you're real smart two times. That is not what it means. Wrong definition. I know some believe that, but that's not what it means. Okay. Now, James 1:8 says, a double-minded man's unstable in all of his ways. That's what it says. So, here's the consequence of not being in a state of drawing close to God. You're going to be unstable. It's just the way it is. You don't need to wonder. You just read it in God's Word. Right there it is. Now, let's move on. To understand kingdom, we must understand dominion. God created us to have dominion over the earth with Him. In dominion. Now, we must understand the will of God. To understand kingdom, we got to understand dominion and the will of God. These are two things that are of necessity. Now, listen, this is the good news. We can do them both. Doesn't mean we're doing them both. I just said we can do them both. Now, with the age and day we're living in, the world's only hope is the church gets out of its double-mindedness.
That's
its only hope. If people in the church have to argue over the truth of God's Word, you're double-minded. God's Word says it, and there it is. That's just, you might not like it, might not know what to do with it, but just there it is. To argue over it is to be double-minded. Now let's move on. Dominion requires a territory declared by the what? By the will of God. What you own is your territory for the kingdom. I've told you that if I'm in sin, it is the will of God that I repent. If I own my sin or if I own my double, okay, that's me. That's me, sure is. Okay, when you admit it's you, you've owned it. You've owned it. I'm not blaming you for it. It's me. I'm going to own it. Well, that means that I just gained some territory. And it's the will of God that I take over that territory. So number one, it's the will of God that we all take over the territory of our own minds and souls and spirits. That's the will of God. And when we own that thing, then we can repent of something. You can't repent of something that you don't own. So repentance should be very close to a believer's heart. Now, it says this in Luke 17, neither say, shall they say, lo here, or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is where? Is within you. So the kingdom of God is being built within me as I take over the territory of my life for His kingdom.
That's good.
Now listen, there's got to be some people here that walks in the will of God, or we're never going to see the healing center and all that stuff. We're just not going to see it. So somebody's got to move. How do I know we're not moving? Because we're not there yet. We're where we are, and that's not there. Okay? So we got to move. Whoever will sign up for this, I need you to sign up today. That we're willing to let this kingdom of God grow within us. Because you see, we're hung. God's going to do this thing. We're in dominion with Him. So the kingdom has to take over this territory if we're in dominion with Him so that His will and His stuff comes here.
That's right.
It's just do the math. I mean, it's not that complicated. God created the earthly realm. God wanted to share His dominion because it's His will. So it seems like, I'll be honest with you, it didn't seem like a very smart move. I think God might have had a bad day or something. To think He wants to share it with us. But God understands that He sent His Son to die for us to get us up to speed so we can carry it out. So the only thing He tells me, we're running behind of what's available to us. Our inheritance, now watch this one, is in His will. Now I'm going to give you a definition of will here. If you have a will, that's your inheritance, right? Last will and testament. A will leaves you something. So you got to understand, get it here. God, your inheritance in Christ Jesus is in the will of God. That's the will that your inheritance is hid in. So to discover and do the will of God is where the empowerment comes from of what we have inherited in Christ Jesus. It's just that we're wanting God to empower our will. God just says, well, okay, go get you some. I'll be here when you get back, but go get you some of your will, if that's what you want. I'm just telling you, you're not going to have God's empowerment in your will. You're going to have it in His will. Now, it just so happens His will for you is better than anything you can imagine.
That's right. Come on.
Somebody? I heard, what did I see on TV the other day? He told this one guy that he was as smart as Confucius or something. His reply was, no, he thinks too small. When we think for ourselves, we think too small. We've got to understand there's more to live unto than there is to die to. Wait, there's way, way more. And if you haven't got to first base yet, that's the first base you got to get to. Now, the three kingdoms are in constant conflict because their goals are different. One focuses on an unholy dominance by man. Another focuses on an unholy dominance by darkness, while the other is centered on the holy will of God. There again, don't let holy will of God booger you. It's the jackpot, the mother load, is the will of God. It's just that we get our little toe in it and we don't even get much of it. The will of God is winning the lottery every day. Now watch it. Can we know the will of God? All right, it says this in Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, it says. I beseech you therefore, brethren, and be not conformed to this world, but what? Be transformed. That means we've got to have our thinking changed. By the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove in what is good and acceptable and the perfect will. Not only can you know the will of God, you can know the perfect will of God. Wow. If I can know the perfect will of God, it says, and my inheritance in Christ Jesus is in His will, do you not think we need to know His will and do it so we can experience His inheritance? That's right. So you can know and prove what is that good and acceptable, but you got to have your mind changed. I've given you the scripture. God just didn't think like you think. Well, no, you don't think like He thinks. Right? We just flat don't think like God thinks. That's just the way it is. So we got to have our minds renewed. And you can't see that as a bad thing. You've got to see it as an exciting thing. I mean, you know what you know, but I mean, come on, we're not impressing anybody. Right? Did I hurt your feelings? I've gotten more emails off of this little series of teaching I've done than any I've ever had. Now, God's will has reason and purpose. To know God's will, we must develop a relationship with Him. That's the deal. You got to grow close to Him. Draw nigh to Him. We must draw nigh, as James 4:8 says. I'm going to move a little quicker. I got 15 minutes. The will of God is all about a relationship and spiritual connection with God, not a religion.
Absolutely.
Now, I'm glad you come to church, and I want you to come to church, and I think you do need to come to church. But it's not about coming to church. It's about a relationship with God. You've just got, listen, you have one with a puppy. Can't you have one with God? Right? You love your puppy. Move God up a little. I don't know who that was for. I'm prophetic, you know. As we grow in the relationship, the will of God becomes clear. All of a sudden, it starts to be obvious. To seek God's will is not saying, God, I need. That's Christianity 101. We're going to move this one up a little bit. We're going into spiritual calculus here now. Watch it. We are not to use the scriptures of the will of God to control others. I bet it's off limits, preacher. It's off limits. Some use the will of God as a tool for manipulation, using fear, shame, guilt to control and influence others. Off limits. I'm not going to stay long here because I'm sure nobody's doing this. Christianity is about freedom, redemption, grace, and empowerment instead of domineering fear. We have to put this one in there. Instead of domineering over others and seeking worldly power, Jesus humbly and selfishly served, resulting in his own death. There you go. And if I got to explain that, we need to talk after service. Now, I'm going to show just a few little points here right quickly. How to begin. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Okay, there it is. Well, you should have been shouting glory hallelujah. And there you go. That's a little weak, but I'll take it. That's a little more like a grunt. I feel like I'm at a stockyard. Okay. The will of God. Give thanks. So giving thanks, you got to understand something here. God doesn't need it. It lines you up with him. That's part of the drawing nigh. What if I come up to Pastor and say, Pastor, I sure do appreciate that $100 you gave me. That was really nice of you. All right. If I begin my conversation with thanking him, how do you think the rest of the conversation is going to go? It's going to go a little better. Preacher, I needed $200. I didn't need $100. Don't you think you can cough up a little more? How's that one going to go? You'll probably take my $100 back. Now, in everything, give thanks. Give thanks. It's an alignment word. Poor mouth, attitude, just, you know, here we go, criticizing, oh, giving thanks. Oh, go right. Oh, there it is. I just lined up with heaven. It gets you calibrated. It gets you calibrated in the right direction. Your heart, your attitude's getting calibrated when you give thanks. It's not for God, it's for you. So give thanks, for this is the will of God. Why is it the will of God? And it not only is it the will of God, it's in Christ Jesus. It's part of your inheritance to know the will of God. So God says, okay, give thanks in all things. Wow. My bead's been off a good bit. How about yours? Does anybody like to complain or what? I mean, you can complain about what's true, but did you know you don't need to know everything that's true? And your friends and neighbors don't either. If they had the choice between everything that you know and the will of God, promise me they won't know the will of God. So that's the will of God, number one, that we give thanks. That's serious business. It's not a suggestion. It's just plain mandatory if you want to do what I'm trying to introduce you to. All right, how should we live? It's in 1 Thessalonians 4:3. For this is the will of God. Even your sanctification, you should abstain from fornication. What is he talking about? You're sanctified. In other words, you're setting yourself aside. I promise you, if you're going to try to rotate around to a place you're giving thanks, you're going to be by yourself. Because in this day and time, the whole conversation is who got offended by who. No, we're going to give thanks. Not only that, believers, it's hard to give thanks in this environment. It is. So if it's hard, that means my thinking's getting off if it's hard for me to give thanks. It's not supposed to be hard for me to give thanks. It just means I'm getting out of alignment. It means I need to repent. That's right. How do I do his will? Number three, it's in Hebrews. Let's look at it. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you. Oh, well, did you see that? Who sees that? Equip you. Who's going to equip us? The God of peace. Now, why? Because of the blood of Christ. So one of the things that happened in the cross of Christ was he guaranteed his people to equip us.
That's right.
He's guaranteed us that. Equip you with everything good for doing what? Anybody want to argue about that? Can you see it? He equips us to do his will. So that means I know a truth. Everybody in here has been equipped to do good. Doesn't mean you're doing it, but you got the equipment. That's right. It's in us. It's in everybody. It's in everybody to do good. Either that or God's a liar. You take it up with him. You are equipped to do good. Now, if we're not, so why is doing good such an issue with the will of God? God's a good God. Not only that, it tells me his will is going to be good. So what about all the, did COVID come from God? No, it's not good. God's judgment, it ain't good. God's judgment's still good. God's good God. Not the will of God. COVID is not the will of God. Alan, how do you know that? Because it's not good. I can tell you what the will of God is. That one ain't the will of God. Are you following with me? All right, let's go on. Number four, how do we silence the enemy? Now, this one I'm sure we'll all jump up and down about. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of the foolish men. Now, when's the last time you wanted to slap somebody that you give them a $100 bill? Or you hugged them? Right? We got a little work to do, right? Anybody with me? We got a little work to do. I mean, these nice Christians at times turns my stomach. Now, who's in the spirit and who's not? Right? You know what I'm talking about. Somebody wants to give thanks all the blame time. Well, can you not see it's bad out here? Oh, you're right. Yeah, you too. All right. Let's just think about that one. Number five, how do we live? Ephesians 5. Be very careful then how you live. Be careful. Not as unwise, but wise, making the most of every opportunity. Because the days are evil, therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. That's right. So all of a sudden we got God's will, the Lord's will. That's what the book's about, it's the Lord's will. Now let me move on. I got to do this. How do we act? He hath showed us, O man, what is good, and what doeth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. Amen. That's how we act. We do justly, means we do what's right. We love mercy. Now, I'm working on this one, okay? I'm trying to say, I'm just honest confession, I don't have enough mercy. The older I get, the less I got. I told God, I'm in trouble. You know, and I got people through all this last 6 months and this COVID and all this mess. I mean, everybody's nerves are on edge. They ain't many. We need an epidemic outpouring of mercy. That's what we need. Help us, God. Jesus, take a wheel. Now, walk humbly with thy God. This is how we act. Now, you want to be prophetic, right? And that's all I'm doing. You want to be a prophetic people. You want to know the will of God. All right, how to be a prophetic voice and deliver the will of God. Let's do it. The will of God. Abortion, is that the will of God?
No, sir.
Murder?
No.
Human trafficking?
No.
Racism?
No.
Stealing?
No.
Lying?
No.
Can we look at the world around us and assume that everything we see is God's will?
Absolutely not.
Certainly not. Let's do another one. God did not want Adam and Eve to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but they did it anyway.
That's right.
Right? God did not want people to sacrifice their children to idols, but they did it anyway. God wanted the Israelites to enter the promised land the first time they came there, but the Israelites refused to go in. They didn't do the will of God. Just because it is the will of God does not mean it will happen. Now, I've heard people say, well, I guess I'm going to use the election here now. Everybody stay calm.
This is just an illustration.
I'd like to say this didn't really happen, but it did. It's just an illustration. Just because it is the will of God does not mean it will happen. We think, okay, well, I guess it's the will of God. But no. See, we got to get it out of our minds that everything that happens is the will of God. Mostly what happens is not the will of God. So when we're walking in dominion with God, we're to find out His will and bring it to the earth. So if the lack of the will of God's happened on the planet, it sounds like to me God's people's behind.
Come on.
Okay. The way we understand God's will is very important. I got 4 minutes. Hang with me. The will of God. The Greek word translated will means to desire or want. A man's will is something that a man desires. God's will is something God desires. When God does not include man in something, it just happens. Such as Genesis 1:3. God said, let there be light. And there was light. Wasn't none of us around to mess him up. God just said it and it happened. Can you imagine what? I'm sure God's sitting there saying, what have I done? God would just speak it and it would happen. Now watch this one. Sometimes God's will involves the choices of people. This is when He created us and stuck us in here. In these cases, He makes His will known by some means, and then the people choose to agree and participate or disagree and go their own way. So we're stuck in a planet that God is now wanting His people to know His will. He says we can know it, and then when we do it, it's a supernatural word. We got horsepower in this thing. We're just trying to operate in what we want instead of what His will is. Anybody with me?
Yep.
You want to let me finish? Here we go. Jesus tells us to pray for God's will to be done. You know the Scripture. It's the Lord's Prayer. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth. Jesus said, pray this way. Well, I want to ask you a question. This implies that God's will is not always happening on the earth. If Jesus had to say, pray for it to come, well, He was implying, well, it's not really here. Why pray for God's will if it's going to happen automatically? We got to get this out of our cotton-picking noodles here.
Come on now.
We're sitting back saying, well, God's going to do it. God's will doesn't always happen. You cannot look at things that are going on in the world and assume that everything is God's will, because God's will does not always happen. God does not control everything. If He did, we would not have the ability to be free and make our own choices. God said, you're free, make your own choices. He's asking you to join Him. You don't condemn Christianity. You've yet to try it. You've yet to walk in the will of God and walk in the inheritance of the saints. Don't put your lip on it if you ain't tried it. It is God's will for us to have dominion with Him. When we are in dominion with God over the earth, His kingdom comes to the earth as it is in heaven. When we are in dominion with God over the earth, we are dispensing His will over the earth. When we are in this relationship with God, we can be a prophetic voice to the earth. Why did the prophets seem to miss it? God told the prophets, this is my will, that Donald Trump be the next president. They told it that God said He was going to be the next president. They didn't say the will of God. They interpreted it as a future event, which is illegal. They had to fail. Can anybody see what I'm saying? When you prophesy the will of God. When somebody wants to have an abortion, I can look at them straight in the eye and says it's not the will of God. Somebody says, I want to take drugs or I want to do murder, I say that's not the will of God. And when you start speaking in terms as this is or that's not the will of God, it'll change your life. As a prophetic person, you can't prophesy without prophesying the will of God. You don't predict the future just because you're seeing His will. The distinction to be made this morning is a distinction between the will of God and telling future. Anybody got it? Quit telling future. I mean, a lot of you in here won't prophesy because you don't want to tell future. You're too scared of it. And I thank you. But you need to be going around telling what the will of God is. You're not off the hook. You're on the hook. So get off you can and prophesy the will of God. That is the will of God. Let's stand. Lord Jesus, we love You and we thank You for this day. It is my prayer, O God, that I've delivered Your truth as You instructed. And Lord God, if I've delivered as You instructed, I pray that we would take this truth. I pray, O God, that we believe You, prophets. I pray, O God, that the word would get to the prophets that they need to be telling the will of God. Somebody needs to give them the distinction between the will of God and trying to predict future. That's the only problem. So Lord, I ask and pray that this word, that this message would get to the prophets, that they'd quit apologizing. And they did hear You, O God. But they need to repent for telling future and not Your will. I set the prophets loose in the greatest power this earth has ever seen to prophesy the will of God upon this planet. I call forth this whole congregation, if you're sitting in here and hearing my voice or if you're watching online, that you are prophetic. You are a prophet. And by based on what you just heard, you are required to tell this earth the will of God. It's in His Word, and it'll be in your heart. Dear God, bless this congregation. Let Your will be done here is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.